Welcome to the Roadmap to Longevity, where we discuss integrative tools and meaningful approaches to improve your health span. I'm Dr. Gary Huber, Professor of Integrative Medicine for the American Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine and the Metabolic Medicine Institute out of George Washington University. I'm also a preceptor for medical students and fellows training in integrative medicine and operate an integrative medical practice in Cincinnati, Ohio. I am joined by the multidimensional Chelsea Dorsett, who's a registered dietitian, an integrative health coach, a mother of three, and an all-around fabulous human being. I want you to simply listen to these words and tell me how they make you feel. Restless, unsettled, overwhelmed, dissatisfaction, frustration, anger, stressed. How do you feel? Now, contrast that with these thoughts: inner peace, contentment, joy, creativity, love. Does that make you feel very different?
Mm-hmm.
And I would say it does. What did you experience when you simply heard those words?
Oh, totally different, right? Even the word stressed. I think we love to use that in our culture and just wear it across our shirt. I'm stressed. I'm stressed. I'm stressed. Even hearing that stresses me out.
It's almost like a badge of courage or badge of honor. I can tolerate more stress than you. Or yes. You don't understand how stressful my life is.
Look at my plate. Look how much it's on.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
What I want everyone to walk away today with is some idea that first list of all those negative terms, those are all generated by your brain. They are born out of your ego. Everybody has an ego. This isn't egotistical. The ego is your brain assessing and judging everything in it. You're making comparisons and you're judging everything, and it's driving friction. It's coming from your brain. The second list does not come from your brain. Inner peace, creativity, love, contentment. That comes from your heart. So the big question is, how much of your day is spent with actions and thoughts stemming from your heart, stemming from some higher divine inspiration versus actions stemming from egoic greed and fear and American productivity? Mm-hmm. You know, how much money can I make? How many things can I get done?
How long can I stay up and work?
Yeah, work? How much, what can I accumulate? Right? There are just hundreds of books written on efficiency,
mm-hmm.
right? The 1 minute manager, high output manager, smarter, faster, better. That's our culture.
Mm-hmm. And I think this was born. Why do we do this podcast? Because you and I see so many patients who are here ultimately because they are sick because of those words you just said. They're restless, they're overwhelmed, they're stressed, and it leads to them being so sick, whether it's they're overeating or they're not sleeping and now they're diabetic or they have a diagnosis they don't want and they come to us for a solution, but we know, oh my gosh, look at how stressed you are.
This is what's driving it.
Exactly.
And think about it. If I'm not at ease, right? What is disease? It's dis-ease. Mm. I'm not at ease. I'm restless. I'm looking to be satisfied. And I'm going to try to find it in this box of cookies, this bottle of wine, this
Netflix movie,
Netflix, whatever it might be. And we're trying to find contentment,
mm-hmm.
but that comes from our heart.
Mm-hmm.
And quick disclaimer, we're going to talk about stillness today and mindfulness and meditation. These are all related terms. This has nothing to do directly with religion. It doesn't matter what your religious beliefs are. They're all good.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're Catholic or Muslim or Presbyterian or Jewish, it doesn't matter. We're not talking about religious concepts. The idea of meditation is discussed and promoted in every religion on the planet. In fact, I even Googled this because I was curious. How many times does the word meditation appear in the Bible? Over 30.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So it is a part of our Catholic doctrine, our Presbyterian doctrine, our Jewish doctrine, our Muslim doctrine. We are not here to talk about religion today,
mm-hmm.
but we know that people that don't find stillness in their lives or don't meditate or It's interesting how our culture prizes productivity and money. And if you're sitting there still, you're lazy.
Yeah, you're not getting anything done.
You're not getting anything done.
Yes, but we're killing ourselves slowly.
Your to-do list is not shrinking.
Exactly.
So that's what we want to address because, as you said, I have to talk about this. Mm-hmm. I'm a physician that's interested in your health and your longevity. Mm-hmm. And the top three killers, heart attacks, cancer, strokes, Alzheimer's, they're all driven by
stress.
Yeah,
they really are. I mean, if you look at what people were dying from in 1910, this fascinates me, pneumonia and the flu, right? Yeah. I mean, it's totally different now. So yeah, I think this has to be addressed. And I told you this earlier, I find if I recommend to 10 of my patients, you really need to do a stillness practice. Two of them might engage it. So it's really hard for me to convince people in a way that this is so good for you.
You said it's easier for you to get somebody to exercise than it is to sit still and do nothing.
Yes, isn't it ironic? Yeah. Or I'll say, okay, let's give up gluten. And they'll say, I'm all in. I want my gut to feel better. But if I say, let's do a stillness practice. Ooh.
Let's address that head on. Because I think for most of us, we grew up in a culture. Our culture does not prioritize meditation or stillness. Mm-hmm. So we have no idea what the value is. Mm-hmm. I can look at exercise and go, oh, well, here are the benefits.
It's productive.
I'm going to burn calories. I'm going to build muscle. It's going to help my heart. What am I going to get from stillness and meditation? It doesn't give me anything. It doesn't help me. If we look into the science, we're not going to spend much time on it, but I want to just state studies, good studies using MRI scans and all kinds of high whiz-bang technology shows us that people who engage in meditation and stillness practices, it slows the rate of aging. I'd like that, please. It protects your brain from Alzheimer's. One study looked at people that had meditated thousands of hours and looked at an MRI scan. And as we age, our brain gets thinner. The cortex, the gray matter gets thinner compared to a 20-year-old. Their gray matter didn't decrease one bit. They couldn't tell a difference between their brains and 20-year-old brains. So it does protect against Alzheimer's. It lowers blood pressure and heart rates. It reduces the occurrence of heart attacks. It helps the brain repair. It stimulates something called brain-derived neurotrophic factor. And it reduces stress and enhances cognition, mental stamina, and mental creativity.
Wow.
Tell me which one of those things you don't
want. I was going to say, if that doesn't sell you, I don't know what will. And, you know, if we said, okay, this is a magic pill that you can take that does all of this, we would say, oh my gosh, I'll take that three times a day.
Oh yeah.
And the patients that I can convince to do a stillness practice, the 2 out of 10 that do it, oh my gosh, they do notice this within 2 or 3 weeks. And they'll come back to me and say, oh my gosh, I'm sleeping better. I'm sleeping through the night. My cravings are better.
Isn't that a kicker?
Yeah.
Sleep and cravings.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Of all the patients you and I see, it's uncommon that somebody will sit here and I ask, how was your sleep? And they'll go, oh, I get 7 or 8 hours and I don't wake up and I feel refreshed when I wake up.
Never.
That's rare.
Yeah, I look from my computer. I'm like, wait, what'd you say? If that happens, are you American?
and I've had this conversation with patients. Do you want me to just give you a supplement or a drug or something to make your brain sleep? Or would you like to open your own potential for sleep, right? I don't want to take a drug. Mm-hmm. I mean, supplements are safer than drugs, but I don't even want to take a supplement. Mm-hmm. If I can promote it my own, that's what I want to do.
Absolutely. Yeah. And one more why, you kind of touched on this a little bit, but so many of my patients, and I've been here too, is you crave sugar after it's that 5 to 8 p.m. That's the hardest for my, you know, myself and you know, my patients that are struggling with, you know, trying to eat healthy, and their brain, it wants popcorn and sugar and junk, and they want a supplement to get rid of it, or they want Netflix to distract them. But this is the answer. I find that this can calm your brain down because what you're craving, your brain, when you're craving sugar, it's almost like your brain is on fire. Ah, give me something to help me feel better. And sugar, it does that, right?
You get an endorphin surge.
Yes.
You get a dopamine surge. And you and I have talked about if our brain starts thinking about, oh man, when I get off work and I get home, there's that cake and I'm going to have that piece of cake at 5:30. There's more dopamine in thinking about that piece of cake than you actually get when you get to have the cake. So yes, it is. My brain's not happy. It's not settled. It's not calm. And so thoughts of that stimulate dopamine.
Yes.
It stimulates that response, and we fall into addictive patterns. Mm-hmm. And that's what drives a lot of that behavior. So, and then how do we break out of that pattern? Mm-hmm. I want to let's tell everybody right now, this is probably going to be a two-part podcast for this mm-hmm. reason. We want to talk the rest of our time on how do you create stillness?
Yes.
How do you engage this in your life? You need to understand that so you have a chance of inserting it and making use of it. Mm-hmm. And then we want you to try it and email us your experience. Mm-hmm. It was great. It sucked. I can't do it. Well, all your objections as to why you can't or shouldn't or wouldn't, or, you know, my husband doesn't think I should do that. He thinks I should be whatever. Email us any sticking points because we know you're going to have them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I think we'd like to do a second podcast just addressing everybody's question.
Yeah.
Their specifics on why they couldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then pointing back toward what we talked about in podcast number one, the aging score.
Mm-hmm.
You and I keep saying stress is bad, stress is evil. Measure it.
Yeah.
How do you measure stress?
I think that's a really good point because a lot of people, when I say I'll say, are you stressed? And they'll say no. But then they tell me, oh, I'm working 3 jobs and I have 4 kids and I only sleep out 5 hours, but I'm not stressed. Fine. Everything's fine. You know, that high squeaky voice. Well, what's your heart rate? I'm at about 100. Okay. So to your point, measure, because from the outside, I can see if someone is stressed, but you don't really, I mean, it's all relative, right?
Yeah. So, you and I sit with somebody and we can see that their sleep's not good. We can see that mm-hmm. they feel fatigued. We can see that their cognition's not ideal and they're a little anxious and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. These are all signs of stress. How do you measure it?
Mm-hmm.
Go look at our aging score on the hipevo.com website. Go into the learn section and simply pull up the aging score.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a list of questions you can answer for yourself. And one of the areas is your vitals. If you can measure your simple blood pressure at rest, at home,
mm-hmm.
measure your heart rate at rest, and then measure something a little more complicated, heart rate variability. There's 2 videos on the site
yes.
that talk about what is heart rate variability. That is a direct arrow to the heart of, is my body stressed mm-hmm. or is it balanced? Once you have that information and you've answered some questions about your sleep and you've answered some questions about your cognition, you're going to see where you're coming up short.
Yeah, those numbers don't lie. No matter how much you do or don't have on your plate.
Yeah.
Those numbers, I think, are the most telling. So that's a really good point. Measure, measure, measure. Talk yeah. to me a little bit about just what is our goal when someone is doing a stillness practice. And maybe we start with what's the goal not. The goal is not to stop thinking. Because right. I can never say, now just make no thoughts appear. Because that is the biggest sticking point that I see my patients say, my brain won't turn off. Okay, well, we'll get, you know, just...
It will, right yeah. after you're dead.
There you go,
Once you die, your
brain... Then it'll turn off.
Yeah, until then, it will never.
Yeah.
And you bring up a great point. That is the biggest myth for people. They think in order to be a successful meditation, I have to sit in a feeling of complete bliss and have zero thoughts. Nobody ever has had that experience. Mm-hmm. Nobody will ever have that experience because that means they're dead. The idea is, where do you place your focus?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you spend, I use this analogy a lot with my patients. Your brain is a tool. And I'll say, do you have a favorite tool? Have you ever used a screwdriver?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Show me your screwdriver. Well, I don't have it. It's at home. I'm not using it right now.
Mm-hmm.
Your brain should be the same way.
Mm.
You should use your brain to do your taxes, to solve problems at work. You should use it to think through challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And then you should put it aside.
Yeah.
Most people live their day from sunup to sundown and even through the night, waking up at 2 in the morning, the entire time in their brain, in their thoughts, in their ego,
racing.
Assessing and judging. And yes, and you
racing.
Get this racing brain, right? So you've never given the brain some downtime.
Mm-hmm.
Creating the idea of stillness or meditation is just that. Your brain's going to keep thinking,
mm-hmm.
but you're moving your focus away from your brain and you're going to focus it on your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And what did we say was in your heart again?
Gratitude, love, joy, peace.
Oh, good things.
Yes,
okay.
Good things. Right.
Interesting.
Yes. Yeah. So we do get that kickback that people will say, I can't do this. My brain wouldn't stop. It's not for me.
Right.
You're the perfect person that needs to just calm that down a little bit. It's not going to stop completely, right? But you will get better and better and better. I think it takes a solid 2 weeks daily of this to really get going at it, to get good at it. Don't you think? I mean, you can't do it one time and say, I suck. I can't do this. I can't sit
still. You know, I'll tell you my story briefly.
Yeah.
Because that's how you and I got onto this topic. Mm-hmm. And I want to hear a little bit about your story. But I was an ER doc for 20 years, and an ER doc's job is to very quickly assess the situation and come up with the worst case scenario. Mm. If you have chest pain, yeah, it might just be rib pain. It might just be heartburn. But my job is to make sure it's not a heart attack. We think of the worst case scenario and work down from that. So you start to take that on in life. You look at everything as worst case scenario. That's a horrible way to go through life. It's very negative. 15 years ago, I'm having shoulder surgery, and my pre-op nurse says, man, your blood pressure is high. Like, wait a minute, me? No, I'm supposed to be the healthy guy.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to take a medication. Medications can work fine to lower blood pressure, but I wanted to go to the source of why my blood pressure was high. And that's when I learned about meditation. I started reading article after article, and it's no joke. And so I started meditating 15 years ago, and it worked. My blood pressure very shortly after starting came down. Mm. But my journey's been 15 years, and I'm still learning and getting better at my meditative practice. Mm-hmm. But notice, even when I was a rookie 15 years ago, it worked.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just enveloping it and becoming more and more involved with it, that I get more and more out of it. So it's like anything you practice, mm-hmm. right? You were a firecracker.
Yeah.
You want to tell everybody what a firecracker is?
A professional jump roper. Back in my day. Yes, you get good at it, right?
Well, you could do things with a rope that nobody could.
Yes,
do.
Exactly.
Because
yeah.
Practice.
Exactly, yes.
So no, you don't have to wear a white robe and go into a cave and sit for, 16 years to be good at meditation.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to engage it every day, like you said. And I do. I think anybody can get really productive at it in a very short period of time. Studies bear that out.
Mm.
Actual studies looking at all kinds of things from blood pressure to MRI readings of the brain showed that people that only had 6 hours of meditation under their belt, that was a matter, I think in that study, it was a matter of 10 weeks, 20 minutes a day or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
They were already seeing dramatic change in their physiology.
Wow.
Not to mention how the person felt, but they were seeing change in the way that their autonomic nervous system was behaving and their blood pressure was responding.
So it's not just the blood pressure that went down for you, because I've known you now for 10, 12 years. Out of those 15 years, you've been meditating.
Yeah.
So I've seen you evolve to not, you're not looking at worst case scenario from a problem. It's your slogan that I hear you say all the time is, it is what it is.
It's accepting that things are what they are.
100%.
And not resisting.
Yes.
I used to resist everything. I was the worst.
Mm.
I mean, my whole mindset was, if it doesn't work, give me a hammer, I'll fix it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was, I would say tension and stress and even anger was a part of my personality.
Mm.
And I didn't like it. I didn't like the way it made me feel.
Mm.
So yes, there's been a giant shift.
Definitely. I mean, it's not, again, not just the blood pressure. I've seen you take that meditation with you throughout the day. So if there is a problem, like I said, you just, we'll figure it out. In fact, I think you had told our staff, we're not really allowed to say, which I like this role, I have a problem, because there are no problems. We have a little situation, we'll figure it out. But even coming to someone saying there's a problem, I mean, that automatically gets your heart rate up a little bit. Okay, what's the problem?
You on guard.
Exactly. And now it's just, we'll figure it out. It is what it is. I mean, you are so in the moment, and you never are worrying about, well, what if? I don't think I've ever heard you say,
it's a dangerous game.
Mm-hmm.
And let me explain a little bit about that, because you and I've talked about that. The ego in our brain wants to look into the past or into the future.
Mm-hmm.
It goes into the past and looks at old grievances and unsettled negative energy. And our ego goes into the future and says, what if?
What if?
Guess what? The market dropped 10 points. Oh no. What if it goes down 100 points? What if my mm-hmm. entire 401k evaporates? What if I'm homeless? And our brain wants to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole idea that it is what it is means I'm living from my heart. The situation is what the situation is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to allow my brain to take a simple situation and judge it as life and death,
yes.
horrible. That comes from our brain. When we look at any situation from our heart, simply it is what it is. It's raining or it's not raining, or I had a fender bender or I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that it's good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
The question then becomes, I can either fix this problem in front of me or I can accept that it's a problem I can't fix.
Exactly. That's
the only options we have.
Right.
Right.
And we know life is not rainbows and butterflies. People go through hard things, right? We hear horrible, you know, stories, sick kids and just, you know, really sad, awful things. And we're not trying to say, be positive, everything's great. You know, it's an acceptance. It is what it is. And worrying ourselves to death, literally stressing ourselves to death, mm-hmm. isn't going to fix that problem. And how do we have the tools? We do stillness practice to kind of protect our body from the stress. Because like I said, life's not always easy. There are some bad things that happen.
There are bad things that happen. And like you said, one of the key words is acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us go through life resisting everything. Mm-hmm. I don't like this government administration. I don't like this rule. I don't like this employer. I don't like this neighbor. And we're clinging to our beliefs and we're craving things that make us feel happy, right? Mm-hmm. Things we like. And when we can let go of that and stop resisting everything, accept that things are what they are.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me this, Miss Chelsea.
Yes.
How is stillness going to magically make me calm, cool, and groovy?
For me, anyway, it really just calms my brain down because, you know, I've got two young kids. I love the stage they're at in my life, but they need 100% of me, all of my attention. So I get home from work and it's mom, 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 mom. Oh, I got a boo-boo. This, which I love. I love that stage, but it's constant, nonstop until they go to bed. So most people with young kids, they say, oh, I need that glass of wine. I need to go on Netflix. I need that calm. But that's brain candy. Like we have talked about, TV is not stillness.
No.
It's a distraction. I think it's almost addicting. I mean, trust me, I love a good reality show. I love Housewives. I love Vanderpump. I'm a junkie for that. But I know, come on, Chelsea, this does not count as a stillness practice.
Yeah.
It is. It's not. It absolutely is not. So for me, what I can get out of it is finally quiet. You always say, listen for the silence.
Mm-hmm.
Listen for the calm, the peace. And it's almost like a 10 minute of true me time that is worth 3 hours of binging on Netflix. Like that's how good I feel just sitting outside, staring at a tree with nobody saying mom, which I love. That's music to my ears. It makes my heart happy. But I also need 10 minutes of just no mom. I mean, no mom.
Let's unwrap this idea of what stillness is.
Yeah.
So there is an article on Hipevo, The Art of Stillness.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to dumb it down to a couple of sentences right here. In a stillness practice, I want to sit in a chair comfortably, ideally somewhere in nature, ideally somewhere where there's not a lot of distraction. And I'll walk through my practice. You kind of shared yours. I sit on my back patio. I stare out at the trees. I listen to the birds. And I began to strip everything away that represents my ego, who I am.
Okay.
My name, my title, my education, my home, my family, anything that you identify, this is who I am. This represents me. Strip it away. The color of your hair, your facial express, strip it all away and just put it in a box to the side. And if I stripped everything away, one thing at a time, and you really went through that mental exercise, what's left? Your energy.
Yeah, your energy.
That's all that's left.
Yeah.
And that's what we want to get down to. Where is your energy? Oh, it's in my heart. Right. If you believe in a deity of any kind, whether you call it God or divine knowing or universal intelligence, anything bigger than you, it doesn't matter. Again, this is not a religious talk. Where does that deity or that energy live? It lives in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And studies have shown the heart is far. It's more than just a pump. Right. It's our emotional intelligence. And you want to put your focus there just on, I am energy. That's all I am. And I'm going to sit with this tree or this pond or this patch of grass or that bush. And you're just engaging with it and being with it.
Mm.
You're not judging it.
Mm-hmm.
You're not resisting it. You're not saying it's good or bad or that tree looks like the bark is diseased. You're not doing any of it. You're just quietly being with it.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said, listen for the silence.
Mm-hmm.
How often do you do that in your day?
Right. Even when we're at a stoplight, we get on our phone, right?
Turn the radio off.
Listen
for the silence. Mm-hmm. Because in that silence, that is where God exists. And again, I'm not getting religious, maybe a little spiritual. God exists in stillness and quiet. And one of the most brilliant things ever given to me years ago by a friend, he said, prayer is great. Prayer is when I talk to God. But stillness is when I shut up and I listen.
Mm.
And I'm listening for divine intervention, right? Not that I expect God to speak to me in human words, but a feeling, an emotion. That's a divine inspiration, which leads to a divine feeling, which leads to divine thinking, which leads to more divine action.
Mm-hmm.
So out of that stillness, I look at it this way. I'm kind of building this room in my life where it's calm. And in any moment in time, in the middle of a heated discussion, in the middle of a tense situation, I can step into that room, breathe in, feel that calm, and bring that calm into whatever interaction I'm engaged in.
Mm-hmm. You're reaching for that tool.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't develop that tool in the middle of a battle. You have to develop that tool, like you said, as you do.
Mm-hmm.
You get home, the kids are going crazy. Hey, mom needs 10 minutes, man.
Yeah.
And you go chill. But what are you doing? You're building a relationship with that feeling and that sensation,
mm-hmm.
and you're developing a greater ability to ignore thoughts and focus on mm-hmm. your center, your energy, your heart, or whatever word best fills that for you.
So we think, you know, there's a lot of different ways to do stillness, and there's a lot of ways to interpret it. And there's definitely some parameters. So like you said, outside is best. Sitting straight up, I think. Some people, they like to, you know, do this right before they go to bed and then they fall asleep. So I don't, you know, you can't really mix this with sleeping. I think it needs to be intentional. You're sitting up, eyes closed or eyes open. I don't know what you prefer. And some people do music or they do guided meditation, which I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. I think it's definitely a good starting point if you're finding your brain is wandering. But that's the general, you know, kind of guidelines. Is there anything else you would add to that on not yeah. rules, but just, you know, it's not laying in bed, snuggling, you know, about to fall asleep. I mean, that's not stillness.
Well, some people think that's their idea of it.
Yeah.
I meditate to go to sleep. You pointed out something very significant. Meditation. Now, what I had just expressed was the art of stillness, but stillness is kind of like the first great addition of the starting point in the meditation. And then meditation can branch from that point and get broader. Mm-hmm. Eyes open or eyes closed. There are many different ways to do it. There is an article on our website, hipevo.com. The article is just Meditation Guide.
Yeah.
And I apologize for its length, but the whole purpose of it was to dispel myths
mm-hmm.
and give people some start points. I think you can do it eyes open, eyes closed. I think it's an aware exercise.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a state of stupor.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
This is not, I'm going to close my eyes and lean back into my chair and slump over and maybe catch catnap.
No.
If you're falling asleep, it should be a sign to you that your practice lacks awareness. You're taking your focus from your brain and you're putting it on your heart in a fully conscious, aware period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, will some people sometimes fall asleep? It can happen,
mm-hmm.
right? But yeah, that handout or that instruction meditation guide will give you a lot of good insights.
Yeah.
There's no hard rules.
Mm-hmm.
There are 100 ways to meditate, literally.
Yeah.
More than that. So you find what works good for you. How you sit, where you sit, how do you place your hands, eyes open or eyes closed? Where do I put my brain? This was my biggest challenge. Okay, I'm ready to meditate and I'm going to sit here and I'm going to follow my breathing because I read that I was supposed to do that. Where do I put my brain?
Yeah, yeah.
That's the hardest thing.
Mm-hmm.
What do I think about?
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute, I'm not supposed to think.
Yeah, I know. I know.
So there are some things in that article I talk about. There's different visualizations you can take on,
mm-hmm.
you know, seeing a clear blue sky or seeing the sun as a light entering you and filling you with energy. There's all kinds of visuals you can engage,
mm-hmm.
but I'll let you read through that article
yeah.
and figure out what works best for you because I engage a host of them.
Mm-hmm.
I will meditate eyes open and eyes closed in the same meditation.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go back and forth. I will have different visualizations. I will have no visualization. So again, it's more create that habit, create that stillness.
Mm-hmm.
And tell me this, what surprised you as you started engaging that stillness practice more and more and more regularly?
Mm-hmm.
What do you look back in the rearview mirror and see and go, wow, I think that's different because I've engaged this practice.
That's a good question. I mean, I would say kind of what I've seen in you is just during stressful times, I'm really able to get my heart rate down, because that's the one thing that I'll notice. If there's a confrontation or I'm stressed, I can feel my heart rate go up. You can feel it. Bum, bum, bum,
oh,
bum,
and you
bum,
love
bum.
Confrontation.
Oh yeah, you know I love it. I don't know if I cry. But that is the one thing that I've noticed. Just, you know, my heart rate doesn't, you know, go to 120, or even if it's just traffic or someone honks at me. I hate, don't honk at me. I hate when people honk at me. But I'm not, you know, my heart rate doesn't go up. I feel like I'm not as fragile, you know what I mean? To stress. I feel like I'm a little bit more resilient, if you will. So that would be just something I've noticed almost immediately. And I think my patients do too. So like you said, the article that you have on your website has great tips on what to do or how to focus on gratitude or your breath. I mean, there's so many ways you can do it. I will say this before we wrap up. I've had a lot of, when I ask patients, do you have a stillness practice? And they say, well, I paint or I do a puzzle. And I don't want to say, well, that's wrong. It's a good start. It's better than watching TV, right? Yeah. It's better than being on Facebook, for sure. There's no doubt. But I don't know if we would put it in the box of stillness necessarily. Would you agree?
That is a tough question to answer, and an important one to answer, because I would agree. If you're, you know, there are adult coloring books these days. Why? Because it helps you to focus on one thing. Mm-hmm. If you exercise, you say, that's my form of meditation. Yeah, kind of is, because you're focused on one thing. It's hard to exercise and have your brain be multitasking, right? Mm-hmm. I paint, and that's my focus time. But notice one very distinct difference in all of those elements. Your brain is still working. If I'm painting, I'm engaging my brain. I'm being creative, right? But I'm still using my brain to make decisions and judgments and pick colors and contours. If I'm running, my brain is still working. I do a lot of cycling. I love how I feel on the bike, because my brain isn't multitasking. It's just focused on cycling. And I find it's very calming to my brain, but I still have to think. Mm-hmm. I have to dodge potholes. I have to judge traffic. I have to, you know, gauge my energy. I look at my speed. You're still thinking. Mm-hmm. All right. So it's almost like a conduit. It's like it leads you right up to the gate of stillness.
Yeah.
But you're still not quite there.
Yeah.
I love those habits. I love those practices. But I would say you're so close now. Get off the bike, stop running, stop painting, and sit down and actually try to focus on your heart.
And just be.
And just be. Mm-hmm. And let go of those thoughts. There is a difference. Mm-hmm. There is a subtle difference. And you won't know it until you try it. And then you'll feel it and you go, oh, mm-hmm. I get it.
Yeah. I always think, what did our ancestors do? You know, when the sun went down, there's no TV, there's no Facebook. They just kind of all stared at each other, chatted. And I think they just were happier and calmer, because there was none of this, like we call it brain candy, you know, the social media, and such a distraction that disallows stillness in our life.
It disallows. You're just barely old enough to remember Mayberry RFD.
I have no idea who that is. Is it a show? I don't know.
See, I knew I was pushing the limit. All right. Attention, old farts. You and I remember Mayberry RFD. Andy and Barney and the little town in North Carolina. And what did they do on the show? At the end of the day, they would sit on the porch and Andy would be whittling on a piece of wood and Aunt B would be talking about a pie she's going to make. And life was
simple. Life.
It was simple. And we loved it. As Americans, we ate it up. Why? Because our lives are getting so hectic. That looked amazing. It looked awesome. And our lives are almost constructed to deny that.
Yes.
Right? FOMO, fear of missing out. Oh my gosh, you got to be busy all the time. You got to look at all the Instagrams. You got to go on, what's it, TikTok? And you got to be on you got to look at your emails. And you got, there are so many ways for you to connect with people that it's impossible to stay up on all of them.
Well, I've heard you say you have JOMO, the joy of missing out. I love that.
I do.
JOMO.
Because it means I picked one thing to do.
Yeah.
And I take joy in it. Mm-hmm. And I am joyous that I'm missing out on everything else, because you can't do everything.
Exactly.
You can only do one thing at a time.
Yeah.
So anyhow, hopefully
we've
hit the mark to at least open your ideas about this. We want to answer questions because we know they're out there. In fact, I wrote down a number of objections that I know people will have. Well, I can't meditate. My brain's too busy. Or you don't understand. I need to work more so I can make more money, so I can get more stuff. Mm-hmm. I can accumulate more things. I don't have time for that. It's against my religion. It's not. I want to help answer that if I haven't already, or I just maybe I don't have any interest in it. And I think when people say they don't have any interest, they haven't had an opportunity to explore it, to see what it is,
yeah,
and how it could benefit them and how it might improve the quality of their life on a regular basis. So mm-hmm. we want a chance to answer those questions. Action points, we would say go look at the aging score and fill that out. Measure your level of stress.
Mm-hmm.
Measure your blood pressure, heart rate variability. Answer the questions on the aging score related to cognition and sleep. See if that doesn't uncover something for you. And is there anything else that you think we haven't hit upon?
No, I think we hit on everything. Hopefully we've sold you and convinced you that this needs to be in your life. And I think it needs to be daily. You can't just do it once or twice a week and say, well, not for me. So try it daily for 2 weeks, 10 minutes.
10 minutes.
Every day. And see, you have nothing to lose. And it doesn't cost anything, right? There's no side effects. It's free.
It's doing no nothing equipment. And it costs nothing. And yet I won't do it because I don't want to miss my soap opera.
Yeah.
And I get people, I hit them with this little guilt button. How many hours do you spend watching TV every day?
Ooh.
Oh, an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. You don't have 10 minutes
yeah.
to do this? Okay.
Yeah, that one
but
gets me.
I really encourage you, and I get that it may not be your jam, and it may be outside of things you've experienced before. All that I can offer is be open-minded, give it a trial, and see if it doesn't really have some tremendous dividends for you.
Absolutely.
The science shows that it should and would and could, and Chelsea and Maya's experience suggests that it's a tremendous benefit on so many levels, and we hope you enjoy it.
Yeah.
We hope you email us with some questions. We want to do round two and really hit the hard questions that people hit us with.
Yep. You can email us at help, H-E-L-P, at huberpm.com, and stay tuned for part two of Stillness.
Hot dog. Thanks for listening, and check us out next month for part two. Bye now. If you would like to leave us a message, ask a question, or have a comment, please feel free to reach out to us at help@huberpm.com. That's help@huberpm.com. Thanks.